You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM and streaming online at CITR.ca. My name is Kelly Rayburn. We will have another episode of the Community Living Show. It just takes time to upload the show and everything. So stick around. We will have the very best of 2016 of the Community Living Show. And, of course, we're streaming online at CITR.ca.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Welcome to the best of the Community Living Show on the NCRA Radio Networks. And of course, our only flagship station right now is on CITR 101.9 FM. My name is Kelly Rayburn. Today, we're going to go back to our archives and look under the episode of November 24th, where Michael and I were talking to Shannon Penrod, the host of Autism Live in California. Of course, you can give out their, you can have their free newsletter at www.autismlive.org. They're all part of the Center for Autism Disorders throughout the United States and around the world. So let's check in for their show. And of course, we will be back again next week. Happy New Year, everybody. We will be back again on January the 5th. So again, please enjoy our best of the year 2016 of the Community Living Show here on the NCRA Radio Networks. Have a happy new year, and we'll see you all again next week. On behalf of myself and Michael, happy new year. And Michael, are you there?
Yes, I am here.
Yeah, so we are live now.
Okay, and I have Shannon with me also.
Cool.
Autism Live.
Oh, great, good. Yay, the actual person on Autism Live. Good. Yay.
Yeah.
And, of course, you can always check them out, autismlive.com. And if there, of course, Autism Live is a production of Center of Autism-Related Disorders. Of course, you broadcast the Yesterday Show on Center for, of course, when you're also online, centerforautism.com. Good to see you.
Thank you for having me. And I just want to say one thing. It's when you go to the website, it's autism-live.
Thank you very much for rephrasing that. Thanks, Shannon.
Absolutely, because then that'll get you to the right place. But thank you for having me on.
Yes. Welcome to Community Living Show.
We're glad you could join us. We're actually fans of your show. So.
Yes, so every once in a while, we don't play the full 2 hours of it because we're an hour show, so that's the reason why. So so it's a lot of fun.
I'm thrilled to be here with you guys, and I'm a new fan of yours, so right back at you.
Thank you very much. That's awesome.
Thank you. So how is it did you wind up working so closely with people with autism?
You know, it's funny that I, in my life before I became a parent, I was a teacher. I taught college theater, and I was a performer and a director, and I had a whole plan for my life, what I was going to do, but I wanted to be a parent.
Okay.
I had my son, and when because I'd been a teacher, I had an expectation of what child development was going to be, and my son's trajectory was different, and that was fascinating to me and interesting to me. And he eventually was diagnosed with autism at the age of 2.5. And I really think of my life as before that and after that, because so much of my life changed. And now, 10 years later, almost 11 years later, I look back and I can embrace all of the wonderful things that have happened and all the fabulous people that I met. But I can say that there were times when I had a hard time. It was rough in the beginning because there wasn't enough information and not enough support. So, you know, our path has been like a lot of people on this path of finding more information, but it's, I think that's why it's so important that, you know, your show and the show that we do, Autism Live, that they're out there for people to be able to access information in lots of different ways, because that's what everybody needs, I think.
Very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, the information, even if your child doesn't have a disability, it's like, if there's still limitations to the amount of information you get, just trying to make sure that you're bringing your child up the right way, you know, so they will be healthy as adults. So I can't imagine how limiting the information would be if your child has a disability like autism.
Well, and I think it's getting better. I think that there's more and more information. Sometimes I think it's confusing for people now because there's so much information that you don't quite know which way to go. But that's I consider that a quality problem because before, I remember saying when my son was first diagnosed, where's the magazine? Where's the TV show? And I found books. I definitely found books, but there was nowhere near the amount of books that there are now. Because I'm a former teacher, I believe that knowledge is power, that it's empowering. And I'm all about helping the autism community to be empowered because there's so much here that is empowering. But if you don't know, you don't know, right?
Right.
Interesting.
Yeah, because for instance, our parents. I have five kids myself, but
you do. But that's amazing. Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you. But our parents, they just kind of, there was limited information, and the doctor just talked at him with what they were supposed to do when he went to the pediatrician appointments and things like that. And it's like, now it's like we're trying to utilize the information we have so that we can, so that it's like it's an equal conversation with health professionals and mental health professionals and all. And it's hard to make sure you have the right information. So using your center and everything, how do parents make sure that they're actually getting the right information for their child? Because everything's individual.
That's a great question. Because yes, absolutely, everything is individual. And one of the things that I learned along the way, and that we try to share on Autism Live with parents, is that when you're looking at services, that there are certain red flags that you see that kind of key you into whether the people that you're thinking about working with are seeing your family as a unique unit and seeing your child as a unique individual. And that especially now that all over the world, you know, people are getting enlightened about services for autism and what works and what doesn't work, we see a lot of people hanging out a shingle and saying, for instance, that they provide ABA services, and which is applied behavior analysis. And what we see is that a lot of people aren't doing things up to a certain standard, and that's not good for anybody. My son was treated by the Center for Autism and Related Disorders, and they are our biggest sponsors of Autism Live. Dr. Doreen Grandpuchet is the executive producer of the show, And I always say to people, they're the executive, she's the executive producer, they sponsor the show, not because they showed up and said, we want to do it. They sponsor it because I know how good they are. Because they treated my child, I got to see firsthand what it is they do, and I still get to see firsthand what they do. And I see that they treat kids as individuals. And there's many other ABA providers that do, but it's really important that when parents go and meet with people that they don't get the feeling that they're just being put into a cookie-cutter system where their individual child, their child's deficits and the places where their child excels need to be taken into consideration, and an individualized program needs to be created around each child.
Mm-hmm. Now, and of course, you do do your weekly show. I'm assuming it's a weekly show, am I right?
Right now, the show is on 2 days a week. We do it on Wednesdays and Thursdays.
Okay.
We were doing Tuesdays as well, but we're doing a lot of filming outside the studio now, so we're doing a lot more event coverage now, and that just doing it twice a week frees us up. But it is 2 hours on Wednesday and 2 hours on Thursday live.
Okay.
Wow, that's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work. You guys know, people think, an hour of live programming, it's not that much, and you guys know it's a lot of work.
It is.
But it's fun.
Yeah. It is.
Yeah.
It's really fun.
I can attest to that. It is a lot of fun. You know, making the phone calls and all that kind of stuff. You guys probably do the same thing we do. You know, making the phone calls to hunt down guests and making sure that the information that you're providing is up to date and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah.
So.
And making sure you connect with your audience and hear from them what you know they want to see, and yeah, it's a lot of different stuff. But I always I think you guys can attest to this. People said to me in the beginning, they were like, "How are you going to find that much information?" And we've been live on the air now for more than 4 years, and I don't think we've even begun to scratch the surface of what there is to be covered and all the stories that there are to be told and all the resources that come available every year, because every year there's more and more that's available for families around the world. So I don't know that we're ever going to be done telling stories. But it's hard work, but it's not the same as, digging a ditch. It's not that kind of hard work, right?
Yeah.
No, it's not the same as digging a ditch. No. I imagine four hours a week of programming, is a lot of long hours though. So how do you balance that with doing the show and your son?
Another great question. It's always a tightrope, and sometimes I don't get it right. But my son is 13 now, and he's doing so remarkably well, thanks to every resource that we had, and so he's getting more independent, and he's wanting more time with me not there. And I have a great husband. I'm really lucky. There's a lot of autism parents that don't have a balancing act that I have, and I have a remarkable husband who he works full time too, but he's an actor, and so sometimes that varies his schedule, and he's remarkable and hands-on. And also, it's interesting. I had been doing a radio show before that was called Everyday Autism Miracles, and then Dr. Grant Boucher called me up and said, "Hey, we really think what you're doing with your radio show is amazing, but we want to turn it in. We want to have you do like a television show. Will you, come and consider talking to us about it?" And when I went and met with her, I said, "Well, this is kind of weird because this is strange, but I got to make sure that you know that I have a child with," and clearly she knew. She'd been treating my son for 5 years.
Right.
But I said to her, "I'm an autism parent, which means there are going to be days that I can't be here because I'm going to have an IEP, and there's going to be days that I need to go to do this, and I need to be home at a certain time to oversee homework. And so I'm going to need this really flexible schedule, but I don't know if that's going to work. Mm. And she looked at me and smiled, and she said, that's exactly why we want you, because you won't compromise on that.
Mm.
And that's exactly why you need to be the parent who is hosting the show, because you wouldn't give any of that up for an opportunity. I know that how important that is to you. So they are super fabulous about letting me. I'm probably one of the luckiest parents alive because I can set the schedule and move things around. I can, you know, yesterday my son went to work with me because his school was out. And mm-hmm. so he, you know, and sometimes they have him help out with different things. And I'm just really, really fortunate that I work with a group of people who get what my role as an autism parent is. They embrace my child. It's a gift I wish every single autism parent could have, because I know they don't, and how hard it is for other parents to work full-time jobs and put in that time. But I'm exceptionally lucky.
How old is your son?
So he's 13. He'll be 13 and a half in just a few days.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And he's Mr. Tall and Lanky. And when he was diagnosed at 2.5, he had been speaking, but he had lost all of his language as he regressed into autism, mm-hmm. and for all intents and purposes was nonverbal. There were still a couple of words that he made that weren't purposeful. He was self-injurious. He would hit his head on the kitchen floor, and you know, I didn't know what was going to happen, and he's 13 and a half, almost. Mm. He is in completely general education in a regular school in eighth grade. He's on the honor roll.
Mm.
He's super-duper smart. He's the kindest person I know, one of the funniest people I know. And every day he teaches me more about what I need to know. His world is slightly different than mine, but I got to be honest with you, I like his world better than mine.
Right. Well, as our show, our show originally was called the Self-Advocacy Show. And what we do for our show is... we bring in people, volunteer people like us, with special needs, anything with Down syndrome or any other show, we bring onto the show, and they bring in self-advocacy shows, whether it fits the topic on bus issues or healthcare or anywhere in the system. That's what we do. And as for myself, I'm partly autistic myself, and you mentioned about family, because my mother is a nurse who really, really looks after me very well, so I must admit. So she does a tremendous job looking after me. So
what a wonderful thing. I gotta say, you know, it's a privilege. I always say I'm a proud autism mom, and it's a privilege.
Mm-hmm.
I have to be honest that when he was first diagnosed, I did not see it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I meet autism moms all the time who are overwhelmed and they're in the beginning stages. And there was a mom that I was talking to the other day. She said, you know, I see all these parents who talk about how great their lives is and how wonderful everything is. And I'm not there. And I feel guilty that I'm not there.
Mm-hmm.
And I always like to remind those early parents that everything that they're feeling is okay, but that to be able to talk to you or talk to my son to see that, you know, this picture that gets painted when kids are 2.5 of all the things that they might not be able to do, instead of letting people know a balanced view of let's look at all the things that they can do now and that they have the opportunity to do and the resources that can help them to be able to do that.
Mm.
because it can be devastating in the middle. In the beginning, I'm sure that, you know, like, how does your mom talk about what it was like when you were first diagnosed?
First off, I was adopted when I was 8 years old, and
And did you already have the diagnosis at that point?
I had the diagnosis. probably my. I don't know if I had it in my teens or no, okay. But because when they realized I was gifted at the time, and afterwards they did realize afterwards I was autistic. I was close to my teens when it happened, and I was. Some people were saying that I was kind of like a learning disabled kind of thing, but it wasn't kind of like the autism situation until, like I said, when I was in my late teens. So they didn't know much about it until afterwards, mostly.
Yeah.
And during my younger years at the time when I was in school, I was mostly playing with myself and not getting enough friends for that matter. And the list goes on for that matter. And it was very tough during my young kid years. So.
Yeah. And that's tough for a parent to see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we love our kids and we see our kids for the amazing human beings that they are. And when other people don't recognize that and they don't have friends, of course it's hardest for the individual that's going through it.
Mm-hmm.
But there, you know, there, as a parent, what the emotion that you go through wanting to help your child, and wanting your child to have all of their dreams come true, it's hard for all parents. But when there are things that are preventing our kids from connecting to their dreams, it's doubly hard.
Mm.
Doubly hard.
Yeah.
I'm glad your mom does such a good job taking care of you, though.
Yes.
Autism moms are amazing.
Yeah, they are.
Kelly's an amazing person. Some of the things that he doesn't tell people is how he has traveled around the world with Habitat for Humanity. How he's involved in local and provincial politics here in Vancouver and British Columbia. He doesn't tell all those other things.
No, I don't.
Doing this radio show and all that kind of stuff. Mm. I usually step up and tell people that because Kelly's an amazing person. Even if you had to take autism away, he'd still be that amazing person.
Thanks, and Michael. I'm really blushing right now.
So.
Well, and of course, and I was listening to you do the interview earlier, Kelly, with,
yes.
You know, talking about Vancouver schools. And
yes.
And it was a great interview.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, clearly you are, you know, you're an amazing person and out there living your life. And I think it's a footnote in your life that, oh, and by the way, you know, you have had to deal with this set of issues.
Right.
You know, and that one of them is autism. And I think more and more people need to come to that kind of thinking.
Right.
We're so quick to label. We're so quick to, you know, slap a label on something and think that we understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, as Dr. Stephen Shore says, if you've met one person with autism, well, congratulations, you've met one person with autism.
Maybe you probably meet many more.
Right. Well, you know, and yet I meet people every day. I can be standing in line at the bank and, you know, they ask me what I do. We get into a conversation and I say, oh, I host a show about autism. And they go, oh, autism. You know, do they know what that is yet? And what they want is the 30-second explanation to explain what autism is.
Right.
Well, you know, I don't know that that's possible to describe autism in this huge spectrum in 30 seconds. It's really, you know, Of course I try. I think we all try to put it in terms so that people can begin to understand. And, you know, but you have to go with a very broad paintbrush because I get angry when people try to pigeonhole. And, you know, of course there's people who think, oh, Rain Man. And that's all they ever think when they associate with autism. And that is criminal.
That's one individualized extreme case, that Dustin Hoffman character, you know.
Exactly. But we're seeing more and more stuff. Have you guys seen, there's a new movie that just came out this week, and we had the director from it on our show on Autism Live. There's a movie called Asperger's Are Us. Have you heard about this?
I don't think we heard it in Canada. Oh, I don't know.
It's there's four gentlemen who are comics. They do sketch comedy and they tour and perform, and they're all on the spectrum, and they're hilarious. They're absolutely brilliant and hilarious, and they did a documentary following them around doing one of their shows. It's really quite lovely, but seeing them perform, I'm hoping that more things like that will happen so people will begin to understand and appreciate all, because each one of them has a diagnosis, but they're completely different. They couldn't be four different people except that they're hilarious in different ways. I just think it's a great, uplifting story and shows humor, and my goodness, the intelligence of the humor is so, you hurt yourself laughing, but it's just so smart.
Right.
Really lovely.
I want to talk about, I know you're a comedian, right?
I used to be. I used to do stand-up comedy. Mm-hmm. I haven't in a long time.
Right. Well, we're going to talk about that in a moment. I just want to say goodbye to our listeners listening to us on Co-op Radio. Maybe you should get out the information one more time for our listeners.
Okay, so they can watch Autism Live at www.autism-live.com. And we're also on iTunes, YouTube, Roku, Stitcher. It's free in all places.
We follow you on YouTube, which is more fun.
I love that.
Yeah. So we're going to put you on hold, and I will say goodbye to our listeners to listening to us on Co-op Radio for a half-hour show. We will, this is also going to be broadcast for tomorrow, of course, as of Friday anyway. So, so we will be back in a moment. You're tuning into the Community Living Show. I'm Kelly, and our guest speaker is Shannon Penrod. Am I right?
Penrod.
Who is the host of Autism Live every single twice a week. So we will be back in a moment here.
The Global Accessibility Awareness Day is on the third Thursday of May.
All right, we're off.
The community and campus stations across Canada are hosting.
So this is very good. I'm glad you came.
Accessibility,
I'm happy.
Advocacy, adapted technology, and more.
We were going to talk about the your comedian days. So we'll do that in just a moment here.
A lot of people protested all the time about this place.
So this week on Cited,
people would drive
another
by,
minute to go,
throw bottles,
next,
scream at people.
The story of the worst motel in upstate New York and the sociologist who decided to live there so he could study America's most hated criminals.
Sex offenders, parolees, indigent.
Sorry, that's Michael, did you want to say something?
Exiled. Sex offenders at the Boardwalk Motel. Airing this Friday, 8 a.m. on CITR 101.9 FM.
Close to that, yeah.
Rocket from Russia, weekly punk rock radio show on CITR, presented to you by Stomp Records from Montreal. Every Tuesday at 10:30 a.m. on 101.9 FM.
We're down to 10 seconds. Okay, you tune into the Community Living Show on the NCRE Radio Networks. That's National Campus and Community Radio Association Networks across Canada. And, of course, we're also broadcasting in British Columbia as well. And, Shannon, I'm going to give you some websites to follow our autism websites. You can follow autism on the Canadian Autism website, theautismcanada.org. You can get more information on it. You can donate. You can give memorial donations. You can also have their newsletter as well. That's www.autismcanada.org. And of course, we have our provincial one, British Columbia one. That's www.autismbc.ca. You can become a member. You can become they're also on Facebook. They're also on Twitter. And they got some announcements as well. So there you go, Shannon.
I love that.
Yeah, anything on our autism websites in Canada and all the news that is on there as well. So
fabulous.
Yeah.
Great resources.
Mm-hmm. Great resources, great information on any issue on autism. And I was going to say about you used to be a comedian.
I did. I used to be a stand-up comedian back in the day. It's funny. I feel so far away from that because just it was 2 or 3 years ago. I was on a plane with my son, and my husband is very silly and does all kinds of funny things. But I'm the serious parent. You know, I'm the parent that's constantly like, you know, we have to be there at this time, which means we have to do this to be prepared. I don't know how that happened, but that's how it just, you know, scoped out. But so I was on a plane with my son. And so he was probably 10 or 11 at the time.
Right.
And I get nervous right when planes take off. And so when I get nervous, I start cracking lots of jokes.
Right.
And so I was trying to be funny. And he doesn't like it usually when I try to be funny. And so he got very frustrated with me. And he said, would you just please stop? You're just not funny. You are just. And I said, what do you mean I'm not funny? How dare you? And I said, I'm one of the funniest people you know. And he said, Mom, let's face it, you are just not funny. And I said, I will have you know, I used to get paid to be funny. I used to be a stand-up comedian before I had you. In fact, I have a plaque that says that I am the funniest person in the state of Iowa because I won a contest once, and it's shaped in the shape of the state of Iowa. Mm. And he looked at me and he said, why would you feel like you needed to lie about something like that? He totally thought I was kidding. And I said, I am so not kidding. It is in a box in the garage. When we get home, I'm going to pull that thing out. And, of course, it took me a week to find it. But I pulled it out and held it up to him, and we had a picture of it on Facebook of his expression because he really didn't believe me because he doesn't think I'm funny. But my friends still think I'm funny.
That's good. So,
yeah,
that's a funny story. Yeah.
Well, I think our kids often don't see us the way we, you know, we were in our salad days. When it's very interesting to see their perspective of who they think we are. And to him, I'm as serious as paint drying.
Wow.
Now, now, Thanksgiving is in the United States. What are your plans for Thanksgiving today?
Well, you know, I've got a bunch of things cooking in the oven right now. I mentioned before, my husband is an actor, and his current gig, he works at Universal Studios Hollywood. He's one of the actors in the Wizarding World of Harry Potter. And cool. So this is a big day for him. He's working all day. So my son and I, we've been cooking and baking. There's a bunch of stuff in the oven right now. And then we go down every year. There's something in Hollywood called Gobble Gobble Give, where you bring clothing and baked food to be given to the homeless. They drive through the streets and give things away. So we drive down and make our donation and do that. And then we go shopping. We're those horrible people that do Black Friday. And we'll have Thanksgiving dinner when my husband gets home tonight around 9 o'clock at night. It's very non-traditional what we do.
I used to be a retail warrior, and I get anxiety attacks just thinking about going shopping this time of year.
I know. There are a lot of people who think we're crazy, but we're very strategic about it. We make lists. We go through all the flyers. Mm-hmm. We make lists about, because especially, you know, as an autism parent, especially in the early years, there wasn't enough money to go around, and I wanted to. Toys are a very big deal to me. I'm a toy aficionado, and as a former teacher, I think that there are some toys that really help our kiddos, and others that just aren't great. And there were things that I wanted to be able to get for my son, but I honestly couldn't afford them at the regular price.
Right.
So we would scope through the flyers, find the toy that we wanted at 50 to 60% off on Black Friday. My husband and I would have a plan. We're crazy about how we do this, that we'll get there. One of us will get in line at the checkout while the other one goes and gets the toy with no shopping cart so that you're not encumbered, and then passes it off to the one at the check stand. And we saved so much money doing that. And we found that you make friends with the people that I haven't been a part of any of the stories that people talk about people grumbling or attacking other people. Last year we were getting new iPhones on Black Friday. We were at Target and we had to wait for them to get, because they had to do the whole processing thing and get the phones online or whatever it is that they do.
Yeah.
And so we stood with like 20 people that were also waiting for their phones. People were going and getting drinks for people. People were sharing things, you know, pie with each other.
Wow.
They were trading cards. Wow. There was one gentleman who was standing next to me who was buying two board games. And we started talking about his board games, and I thought that one of them was just a remarkable game for kids on the autism spectrum. And so we got to talking about that, and just next week we're going to be featuring the board game, because I called the toy maker and I said, we got to talk about this on the show. And I said, and let me tell you how I found it, standing in line with somebody on a Black Friday. So we kind of love it, and it's not for everyone.
Nope.
But boy, if you need to save money on a gift, it's worth it to look through the flyers, is what I say.
Interesting.
I'm sure that, and I know in the U.S. because I grew up in the U.S. It's like the flyers are way different than they are here.
Yeah.
Really.
In trying to find the deals and everything. Yeah.
Yeah. Totally different.
Mm-hmm.
But you guys still have Black Friday in Canada, right?
Our Thanksgiving's on October.
Yes, yeah, but you still do the Black Friday sale tomorrow, don't you?
I believe so.
It's catching on up here.
Yeah.
What it used to be was what's called Boxing Day, which U.S.
did,
which is December 26th, which December 26th in the U.S. is the biggest return day of the year.
Yeah.
Right.
Up here, it's the biggest sale day, where they slash all the prices and everything and trying to get everything to move out. That's kind of like the Black Friday there, but Black Friday's kind of catching on up here too.
Mostly the Boxing Day that's celebrated through most of the Commonwealth countries as well. So,
yeah.
Yes. I have British friends that do Boxing Day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So. I love that tradition.
It is.
I think it's a pretty cool tradition.
Yeah.
So.
So everybody goes mad on December 26th, and some people like wait up for like overnight hours while the stores are still closed and everything. It's just completely madness.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, I'll have to. My husband loves Black Friday. I'll have to send him up there for Boxing Day.
Good luck.
Really enjoy it.
Well, you're in California. It's a short trip up here to Vancouver.
Yeah, yeah. It's not
too bad at all.
Probably be several hours to get over.
Yeah. And now, do you guys already have snow?
We have snow on the mountains, but a lot of times it's mostly rain. If we get snow, we probably get about a week. That's our longest we ever get. So,
really?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought.
Yeah.
I thought Vancouver's pretty cool that way.
Yeah. If you go easterly throughout the province of BC, through Toronto, through Winnipeg, they get a lot of snow there.
Mm-hmm. Well, I grew up in upstate New York on the other side of I went to college on the other side of Lake Ontario, so Toronto was on the other side.
Right.
And we went to Toronto and Montreal a lot, so I guess that's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
That it was always lots of snow there.
Yeah. Upstate New York, because I grew up on the East Coast also. Upstate New York, I remember we used to get tons of snow. Where I was in Pennsylvania, we were just covered in ice all the time, freezing rain. I remember learning to drive on ice and others talking about snow.
Yeah, that's scary stuff. I moved to Southern California so that I don't have to deal with that. I like snow, but no thanks on the ice. The ice is not a good thing.
But Vancouver's pretty cool with that one. We don't get the snow. So, yeah.
Well,
I was doing a cruise.
I've never been to Vancouver, but clearly I need to come.
Mm. Mm-hmm. I was doing a cruise trip about a week ago or so, going to San Francisco, going to L.A., and going to Catalina Island around those areas. And, of course, my mom's big on craft stuff. So she's big on gift cards. You make your own gift cards and all that kind of stuff. There's a thing called Sailing with Scissors, so they do a lot of cruising and, you know, and sailing stuff. So it's been...
She sounds like my kind of woman. Your mom and I would be good friends.
She probably would.
But the next time you come down this way, you know, of course we would love to have you guys on our show and we can have you Skype in.
That'd be
Vancouver,
great.
But if you're in the L.A. area, you need to come and be in the studio and be on the show in the studio with us. Let us know.
Yeah, well, when we ever get a chance, we will.
All right. Fabulous. Well, and you'll have to I'll have to exchange emails with your mom because sounds like my kind of woman.
Yeah. Probably would, too. Yeah. Well, it's been very interesting talking to you. Just give out the information before we head out.
Yep. So the show that I host is called Autism Live, and you can find our homepage at www.autism-live.com, or you can find us on YouTube. We have our own YouTube channel, which you guys said you watch us on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
We also are on iTunes. We have a Roku channel. We're on Stitcher. Any place that we can be and be free, that's where we are. We're live on Wednesdays and Thursdays from 10 a.m. to noon Pacific time.
Right.
But we podcast to all of those places, and we have thousands of hours of shows there. And we're interactive. We love to get questions from our audience.
And you have a website called centerforautism.com?
They are our card sponsor, website. The centerforautism.com, and so, you go to www.centerforautism.com. They have more than 100 locations in the United States, and they have some sister affiliations in nations all over the globe.
Well, Shannon, thank you very much. Looks like we covered most of it all, and if we ever get a chance, we'll get over to California and check out your show.
Let's definitely have you Skype in the meantime, though, so that more of our audience can know about what you're doing and the resources that you guys have.
That's great.
Let's definitely. All right, we'll be in touch. And thank you, guys, and happy American Thanksgiving. I know you're long past your... it's Victoria Day, isn't it? Isn't that what you guys call it?
That's in May.
Oh.
That's in May. We just had our Remembrance Day in November 11th. Nothing until December.
Okay.
So,
well,
best of luck. Happy Thanksgiving to you guys there.
Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Shannon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, Michael?
Yes.
You're on. Okay.
Okay,
so,
I'm clear.
Yeah, so check them out, autism-live.com, for their free newsletter of Autism Live. Very amazing stuff. She was really great.
Yeah, she's an amazing person. I feel really honored that we got to have her on our show.
Yes.
So yeah.
Very interesting. Do you have a show next week?
We're still working on a guest. I'm still trying to get a hold of David Eby about the BC housing and everything.
Right.
Hopefully I will get a hold of him so we can have him on next week and to see. I get Christy Clark and the is it the BC Conservatives, right?
Liberals?
I get confused. The BC Liberals, yeah. They announced a plan that I saw in the province that was supposed to produce something like 2,600 homes.
Okay.
And I did see a bit of a rebuttal right after that some of the big announcement weren't actually new projects. They were actually projects that are already sitting on the books.
Okay.
They had been approved. So I'd like to see what our friends with the NDP have to say also.
Okay.
It would be pretty cool if I can actually get him on at David Eby. And he's, what is it, Point Grey's MLA?
Vancouver Point Grey, yes.
Yeah. So, it'll be pretty interesting to see what, get as many sides of the story as we possibly can. So,
okay, cool. And, course, you can always contact us on our email. The email address is communityliveringradio@gmail.com. Thank you to everybody. Thank you to Shannon Pernrod from Autism Live. Hope to see you all again next week. Take care, everybody.
All right.
Bye-bye.
City streets, blessing our lives. Underneath stormy skies, neon signs in the night, red and blue city lights, cargo trucks.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
While out on a wedding party, the whole town came out on that day. I sat down beside an old woman, near mothers with children at play. And as I was sitting,